Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone, founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back. It's a great day, a privilege and a pleasure to be here. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. This is our third broadcast. It is October 31st, 2014, and we are live from Doylestown here at WISP Holy Spirit Radio, and advocating for really the message of the gospel with Holy Spirit Radio all the time. It's a great day. It is Halloween, and so this is a day that I want to share with you just a poem quickly as we get started. You know, we'll be talking a lot about several men and their lives in prison and beyond today, and they'll be calling in. We'll be speaking with Jeff and then Kevin and then Sharon Anderson. But a little girl once asked her friend a question: what is it like to be a Christian? And her friend said, it's like being a pumpkin. God picks you out from the patch and brings you inside and washes off all the dirt. Then he cuts off the top and scoops out all the yucky stuff. He removes the seeds of doubt, hate, greed, and then he carves a new smiling face for you and puts his light inside of you to shine for all to see. And so I just want to share that with you because today is Halloween. It is the fall season, and we have a great day and planned for you. And so our first guest will be calling in shortly, Jeff Collins. But I want to thank Dale and Jane for having me on the air once again, and for being back here at Holy Spirit Radio. I want to thank Kathy for her assistance with the program and for all the editing she's done with us over the years. And I want to thank the Charitable Exchange also for their support of the WINGS program in prison. And the TCE helps select nonprofit organizations to focus on charitable works while they raise money for them through the TCE secure website, www.thecharitableexchange.org. And if anybody's interested in making a donation, just go onto the website and select a charity of your choice, and the TCE will do the rest. There are many charities to choose from, including My Father's Vineyard, Holy Spirit Radio, and many others. So we want to thank the TCE for their support financially, for their help in getting us moving forward inside our prison work and recovery work. And by the way, the TCE guarantees that 100% of your donation made through the website will go to the donor's selected charity. And business and operational expenses are managed through the separate TCE private funding. And so we would just once again want to thank the TCE for their support. And it's been a privilege and a pleasure doing the work and knowing that the TCE is behind us. So it's a great day. We are waiting for Jeff's call here, and we'll be talking with him shortly. But I want to just share with you one thing as we get started. You know, Finding God in Prison is a special title for our show. I came up with it a while back because we have run into many men who have found their faith in prison and beyond, men who are really growing in faith on the inside. And recently I heard of a gentleman, Michael Francesi, who is a son of an underboss in the Colombo crime family. He has a movie out called God the Father. And I just want to commend Michael for talking about how he found God in prison as an organized crime person, really a guy who's on the inside, grew up in the family, and now he's telling the story of how he met the Lord Jesus Christ in isolation in prison, and he is doing a great job of that, also going into schools and telling how he transitioned from the gangster the organized crime family to working to, you know, move people forward in their faith. And so he's a great example of how men can find God in prison. Okay, Jeff is on the line. I want to invite Jeff now to join us. Jeff, good morning. Are you there?
Okay. Yes, how are you, sir? Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Great to have you with me on the air. And how you been?
Very good, through the grace of God.
Okay, great. Just for our listeners, Jeff joined us in the Wings program November 18, 2013. He completed 14 sessions in the Wings program in Philadelphia,
sir.
And was discharged, I believe, back in February. Is that correct, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I've been doing pretty good ever since.
Yeah, and I just want to thank you again for taking the time, Jeff, for calling in and for being in the program. We've had many excellent conversations in when you were in prison, but also on the outside. And how much time did you serve, Jeff?
I did about, I think, 8 months, something like that.
About 8 months. What was the toughest thing, the greatest challenge you had while in prison?
Well, being locked down all the time, you know.
Can you explain what that means, to be locked down, to our listeners?
Well, it's like, you know, to take a person's freedom, you know, your freedom is all you have, you know. And, man, I just couldn't deal with the isolation, and I just feel inhuman, you know.
Understood. Yes.
Yeah.
So taking your freedom away, lockdown, and how many hours a day were you locked down for most?
The way it's designed, you have to kind of do something with yourself. They kind of force you to do something with yourself. You know, the guys that really don't want to go to school, you know, they offer some programs in there, you know, not saying that it's all bad, you know, but yeah, they offer programs, and the Wings program was one of them. The guys that don't want to do anything with their lives, as far as wanting to change, they keep them locked down. You know, the only way you can get out is to take a program, work, or do something positive to better yourself. So when you leave, you have a better chance of survival.
Right. Well, it makes complete sense. What was it that brought you to jail in the first place, Jeff?
I had a life of, addiction, active addiction, alcohol and other substances, and I just ran bad on my luck on the streets, winded up stealing out of stores, trying to support my habit and stuff, lost all contact with my family, lost all contact with my friends, lost employment, you know, I was down to dereliction, actually, you know, and so actually I could say that jail saved me, you know.
So,
I went to jail, and then I knew I needed to change my life. So I was going to church constantly every day. I mean, well, every time they had service, at least 3 to 4 times a week. And then, you know, I found out about the Wings program. And the Wings program, being as though it was Christian-based, I could find some kind of order on which way God wants my life to be. And I know that I'm not nowhere near what he has in store for me, but you know, more will be revealed, you know.
Right. Well, that's great. That's a great testimony right there. And how many years did you have with addiction?
13 years, sir. 13 years of active addiction. Now I've been clean now 9 months. You know, life is good. I'm back on the workforce again. I'm employed. I'm an active member in my church. I'm going to my meetings. You know, anything that I can do to practice an active change in my life, I'm all for it. And this is one of them. You know, if I can help somebody that's coming, that was down the same path as I was down, you know, then it's an honor and a privilege to be used by God. I realize that this is not me. My doing is the good Lord above.
That's great. That's great, Jeff. And, you know, the title of our show is called Finding God in Prison. And so while you were in prison for the 8 months, how did you grow in faith, if at all?
Well, I always was raised as a Christian. I was an active member in the church as a child. I guess I was kind of torn between two worlds behind other things that were happening in my life, being in an abusive household and kind of dysfunctional a little. But, you know, I took to the streets at an early age, and, you know, it was all bad, everything that came with the streets. So, you know, now it's just better, man. It's better this way. You know, I never want to live like that again. Like I said, my living standards went down so lower than low. You know, things that I never thought that I would do, I started doing, you know, to support my habit. And stealing was one of them, you know. So I'm very grateful today that God brought me out of that. And he survived me through the horrors of the streets. You know, I've been shot at when I was out there. I was beat down when I was out there. I was stabbed when I was out there. And almost killed myself on numerous of drugs at different times. And for me to be on this phone today testifying that what the Lord has done in my life is an honor and a privilege, you know.
That's wonderful, Jeff. Really is great to have you here. And, you know, having you in the Wings program was also a pleasure. I remember every day you coming in, you know, and I always enjoyed talking with you and having you in class for 2.5 hours each session. And,
yeah.
You actually completed 14 sessions on the inside and then, you know, joined us on the outside here through the telephone. But, you know.
Yes, and, you know, and I still apply those principles today. You know, everything that, you know, you guys taught me in there, Mr. Montone, you know, I keep my daily planner, you know. I prioritize my life, keeping God first, and staying around positive people, you know.
What can you say, if I may, Jeff, about the circle of influence? What kind of circle were you in, years ago before when you were on the outside in the streets?
Oh, okay. Well, being as though things were bad at home, I kind of took to the streets and I kind of clung to the older guys in the neighborhood, you know. It was actually gang war days back then, you know, in the 70s and, so I did everything that those guys taught me to do, which was all bad, you know? It didn't lead me to nothing but destruction,
right.
You know? And it took me for a lot of years, you know? And it was like once I was in it, man, it seemed like it was no way out. You know, I remember wanting to stop, wanting to change and just didn't know how. You know, and so I believe God puts people in your life for a reason, and those periodic jail jokes when I was arrested and stuff like that, they actually saved my life. You know, there's so many people that die in addiction every day, you know, and since I've been clean now, I lost at least three friends already.
Okay.
You know, they made the bad decision to try not, still wanting to hold on to their old ways and wind it up doing what they always do and taking for granted that they have one more chance and they didn't.
Right.
And so I don't take this for granted anymore. You know, I really feel like I don't have too much time to waste, you know, at my age, you know.
How old are you, Jeff?
I'm 51.
Okay, so you're halfway there then, right?
Yeah. Well, I think I have more years behind me than I do in front of me.
I'm sure. Listen, what would be your message to a group of high school kids right now if they had a decision to make this Saturday night about what they were going to do with their time? What kind of message would you bring to the youth today based on where you've been?
Well, first of all, I would tell them don't do drugs. That's the first thing, you know, because if you don't do that, then your mind is not distorted and you have a chance to make some sound decisions in life. Stay in school, you know, and do what you need to do, for a changing world, for an on-changing world. Now you definitely need education. And so I really would push that. And also, you can't do none of it without God. And that's so hard for the young people today. You know, if you, it's very important to raise your child, you know, knowing, God, you know, teaching your child about, God. Because if you don't, you know, it's like he's lost without it. You know, I thank God that my mother and father, you know, one thing, we might have had our downs, but my mother taught me about God. You know, she taught me, sent me to Sunday school, did what I had to do. You know, even though I might made the wrong decisions when I got older, but that was my decision. I can always say to her that she did what she was supposed to do as a mother and as a parent, you know. So that's what I would tell the young people, you know. Go to school, finish school, don't do drugs, and go to church, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a great message right there. Really three messages, to stay in school, not to do drugs, and that you need God in all of it.
Yeah.
You mentioned your mom, and I know her name is Patricia, correct?
Yeah, Patricia.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember last Christmas we were together inside, and we had sent some packages out. I know we had sent something to your mom last year, so I just wanted to ask about her. How is she doing?
She's doing fine. My mother, she was very thankful for the gift, you know. She loved it, the shawl you sent her. She's very proud of me, you know, and I'm proud of her as a mother, you know. You only get one. When they say you only get one, that is so true, you know. My mother is the only person in the world that never turned her back on me, even in my worst moments, you know.
Yeah, that's wonderful, because a lot of our men can't say that as well. And, you know, we have men in our program really have no support while they're inside, and when they come out, they may even have less. But that's a great thing that you have your mom, and you know, we really wish her the best as well, and thank her for really supporting you while you're on the inside, and that's great.
Yeah, and you know, God is working in my life beyond my wildest dreams. You know, he's you know, I mean, he's actually, you know, healing and mending broken relationships and stuff like that. You know, I'm making progress in my goals. You know, I'm gaining my school certificates and stuff like that back. And you know, because I you know, even though I was out there like that, I worked 35 years of my life, but at one point got bad and I couldn't really hold a job. But then I never forgot what I was taught. I have a few school certificates and stuff like that. I'm regaining now, and you know, back in the workforce, and you know, just being among society and being able to hold my head up and say thank you, God. You know, that's a blessing. You know,
that's wonderful, Greg. Jeff, excuse me.
Yeah.
Jeff, on December 22nd, 2013, we had a writing assignment inside. It was basically geared for your discharge plan, what you're going to do when you first come out. And here's what you said. When I first get out, I will stay with my mom for 1 or 2 days. Then instead of getting our own place, I will go to the transitional recovery house. This will keep me in a positive environment. Number two, I will seek emotional support with mentors like my father and a few elders from my church. Number three, I will also stay with the WINGS program for proper guidance and support. Number four, I will go back to work. I've worked for 35 years of my life, and God always blessed me to have work.
You know, Mr. Montone, you know, that really touched me right there, because it went exactly like that, you know.
That's a beautiful thing right there.
Yeah, you know, I actually, the way you broke it down, I actually see the progress, you know. Sometimes you can't really word the progress, but when you know, that was truth right there, because I remember writing that, and making that goal to be where I'm at today. And it's just a blessing, and, you know, and I'm really heartfelt to have heard that, you know, and notice what God has done in my life and how just following some simple order and direction in my life, it has changed.
Okay. Well, here's a couple of more things you had on the list. I also have been thinking of going back to school. I will do some type of community service work, like help my church and find something else positive. And number seven, I want to take some time for positive hobbies and like going to the library or working out at the YMCA. So you told me on the phone, I believe, the other day that you've been working out. Is that true?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have. I've been doing community service with my church. You know, at least twice a month we serve the community. We give out shirts, clothes, and hot dogs and pretzels. And summertime we were doing the water ice thing, you know, for the kids. You know, and it's just a beautiful thing to be able to help somebody else and, you know, see the smiles on people's face, you know, knowing that we're there and we're available for help if they need it, you know, in more ways than one, you know, whether they need prayer or just some, just an ear to listen to, you know, and, you know, knowing that, we have been the same road that they're on, and God has changed us so he can also change you. If he did it for you, if me, he would do it for you. And that's my message, you know. I'm an active member in a church, you know, we're telling people to Christ Ministries, you know, and that's my church, man, you know. I get a lot of support. I have all the pastors' phone numbers, all the ministers, the team of ministers, Pastor David Fitzgerald, strong pastor, good leader. If you miss a week, he'll call you, you know, just to make sure you're all right, you know, and that's the support that we need, you know, as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, that's wonderful, and that's really your new circle of influence, which is all positive, nothing negative compared to where you were years ago on the streets, and, you know, you talked about, you know, what people need, and sometimes they need prayer. Well, while you're on the phone, we just want to pray for one of our guys in the program, Greg, who is going to court in December. He's facing a possible life sentence. And we want to pray for Greg and his family and for, you know, his situation here. We pray that, you know, he'll get a reduction in time based on him being in the WINGS program and providing the judge with the necessary paperwork to show, you know, that he can make a difference. And, you know, Jeff, having you on the air right now, it's a privilege and a pleasure. But also, you know, you're helping us right now to get a message out. So it's kind of like community service in a different way. And I know we're going to be together often. Based on what you've said here in the last 20 minutes, it's really been a terrific testimony that we need to get out, you know, to other young people and older people as well, but to the young people to help them to avoid some of the things like addiction and incarceration. And I know you have the ability now to make that happen. And so, you know, you're on the team, and we'll be you know, doing more radio, but also some school presentations maybe together that will really touch a lot of people. And I want to also pray today for Chris, who is inside, and he is being scrutinized really in many ways and being tested daily. And we want to pray for Chris and for Greg, for their situations, that they are resolved by God, and his hand will work into the courts to actually bring Chris home as soon as possible. And it's a large system. It moves very, very slow, like a tugboat. And we want to pray for Greg, for you know, for the Lord to bless him with another opportunity, you know, to come home as early as possible. But also, Jeff, while you're here, I want to just mention Your reason why you need to succeed in reentry that you wrote in our class was this: I am not satisfied with my life. I feel like I need more of God and myself to live a better life. Also, my family, already looks down on me, and I don't want to give them the satisfaction of saying, I told you so. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the honest answer inside that you wrote, and I share that with you because, you know, I respect you as a man and as a brother in Christ for giving me honest answers. But are you more satisfied with your life now than before?
Well, yes, I am. I mean, no material thing can add up to the joy and the happiness I feel inside. And, you know, as a man, you know, as a human being again, my family, yes, they're starting to respect me more little by little every day. You know, they don't even bring up none of the old stuff, you know, but, they definitely see a change, and it's a blessing to be able to look them in the eyes. You know, every now and then, you know, they test me. You know, I'm going to share this. One of the biggest things I remember, I used to always, I would sell my phone. when I was using drugs, I would sell my phone. And for now, I've had the same phone for almost a year now. And they're, you know, every now and then, sometimes they take a long time to call me and they want to see if I still have the same phone.
Well, I tell you, that's incredible.
Yeah. So it takes some time, you know, to gain trust with people again. But at the same time, with, you know, knowing that God forgave me and knowing that as long as I'm okay with me, because a lot of stuff we do is because of the way we feel about ourselves. You know, if I'm not happy as a person, you know, sure, I'm going to turn to a drink. I'm going to turn to a drug. I'm going to turn to other things or act out in other ways or make bad decisions on things that aren't of God. You know, now when I make decisions, you know, I get more than one invoice on whether they think that this is the right decision, and that's, you know, being open-minded and looking to what the Lord says about whatever it is I'm trying to do. Because sometimes, you know, you think about doing stuff and then you can't even tell. If nothing in the Bible or nothing, you're not getting any kind of type of signs that point directly to what you're struggling with or what you're going through. So now you feel like you're kind of like your spirit is a little down and you're at a standstill. But what we call are trials and tribulations. And I believe that staying steadfast and not acting out. You know, that's the biggest thing, not sinning when you're going through your trials, you know, not sinning. And it's a blessing in the end of it, see, because we go through stuff so that we could be used by God. You know, everything that we go through, at the end, you might not understand it now, but we understand it a little bit later, you know. So I don't regret a lot of things that I didn't understand at first. Why me? Why this? Why that? But I see it differently now. I see it as, like I said, an opportunity to be used by God.
Okay. Jeff, that was a great testimony once again. And I want to thank you for calling in today. It's been a blessing to have you with us on the air at WISP Holy Spirit Radio. And for our listeners, once again, you're listening to Jeff was with us in the Wings program. You're listening to 1570 1570 AM Holy Spirit Radio and also 1420 AM WCOJ. And Jeff, you've really made my morning a lot brighter, and listening to you on the air has been as I said earlier, a blessing. I want to, you know, just let you know that we're out of time right now. We have going to go to our next guest, but God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you hopefully on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock at Drexel University.
Yes,
we're
sir.
Putting together a team of men who have a past and who will share that past and talk about decision making with the youth,
sir,
in schools. So God bless you. Thanks so much, and have a great day. And you're really an example of success in the Wings program, and I'm so glad that you called in today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you also, sir.
Talk to you soon, Jeff.
All right, bye.
Have a great day. God bless. Bye-bye now. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Jeff Collins on the air with us. And Jeff, I just can't thank you enough for calling in. And our next guest is Kevin Dotson. Kevin, is going to be calling in. Kevin, is he on the air? Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Great to have you with us on the air. And you ever been on the radio before?
Once. I won some tickets for my girlfriend.
Okay. Well, welcome to Holy Spirit Radio, and God bless you, my friend. Kevin started in a Wings program February 19th, 2014, and completed 12 sessions in the Wings program. He also completed many sessions over at Drexel University and really was found to be a real man of his word. What he said he was going to do, he did, and he showed up for the game in class and at the university as well. So, Kevin, you know, I just have to say that about you. You are a man of your word, and how are you doing today?
I'm fine, Joe. and technically, Joe, I consider myself starting the Wings program on Martin Luther King Day or whatever. That's what I really consider myself starting, because that's when I first met you, and that's when I sat in your class when he was at the house.
Yeah, exactly. And Martin Luther King Day, you know, what a great day to start out in the Wings program. One of my great role models, because, you know, he said so many wonderful things that were rooted in the Word of God. And the Lord really prepared him to go to the front lines to help other people and to really find equality and fairness and justice through the Lord's Word. He brought the peace of God, the love of God, and the Word of God in his speeches many times to millions of people. So that was a great day for us. Now, Kevin, can you tell us what was it, you know, in your that actually brought you to prison?
Well, arguing with family. I got in a spat with my father, and since I don't live with my father no more, the best way for him to get back at me was to act out through my probation. I'm known as a violent criminal because I had a couple run-ins with cops, and I'm not the type of person that's just going to stand there and let you beat on them. So I'm looked at as a violent criminal. So I'm on probation for anything violent.
Right.
I got in an argument with my dad, and in retaliation, it was a little pushing and shoving between me and him or whatever. But I, at the end of the day, I know I could hurt my dad. So I said, look, I ain't got time for this. I left. In retaliation, because it went on, my dad decided to sit back and get a restraining order on me first. And when we was in the judge, when we sat back and saw the judge, I told the judge, I was like, I didn't need the restraining order. When he get like this, I just stay away from him. When my father realized that wasn't good enough, he called my probation officer on me and told my probation officer a bunch of lies. Within that same week, my probation officer called me down and told me, I told you to chill. You got all these cases underneath this one judge, whatever. I'm like, look, but I told you from the beginning, when I first met you, I had a rocky relationship with my dad, and he used my probation against me or whatever, like he's mentally consistent. No one really understood that I had to go sit 2.5 months in jail. Came home, went back to work. Lesson learned.
Right.
Stay away from my
there are challenges in relationships, there's no question. And we have had many discussions about this, and we've had, you know, more than 12 sessions inside and many sessions outside. We've been down in South Philly looking at marble and all kinds of things in some places. And, I've seen, you know, I come out of the field of aviation. I've seen cockpits where two pilots didn't get along. I've seen situations in families where, you know, mother and daughter don't get along sometimes. You know, in life, these things are going to come up. And that's why in the Wings program, we try to use the Lord's word and the second greatest commandment, which is to love one another as a role model. And sometimes it's hard for people to love us, and sometimes it's hard for us to love people. But nevertheless, that's the calling, and we try to work on those things. While we're in the house, how many letters did you send out, if any, in the Wings program?
I sent one out to my mother. I sent one out to my girl. That's mainly it. Like, I keep a real tight circle. So there's not that really many people that I have to really apologize for, because I'm loyal. Like, I mean, since I had family issues growing up or whatever, any relationships I meet outside of my family, I'm very loyal to all my friends and family and all that good stuff. So at the end of the day, yeah, I had a lot of support when I was in there. But, like, as soon as I came home, I got even more support from before I even went in, because they understand the situation and things like that. So mainly it was just, I can't change my past. You can't change our past, whatever. I'm not holding it against you. It's just that past affected me. So
right.
Don't take how I act towards you personally. I still love you. I'll do anything for you. But you just have to understand that's just a part of me now, because you can't take it back or whatever. But, like, at the end of the day, Joe, I had love for everybody.
Yeah.
And even my father. He's a pain in my butt, but let him stay where he got, where I'm at. And it works better that way.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, if it's any consolation, I love you, and I have a lot of respect.
I love you too, Joe.
I have a lot of respect for you, because, you know, I've seen my dad 3 times in 18 years, and it was very difficult for me growing up. And it was God who filled that void for me ultimately. So, you know, sometimes men have, you know, challenges with sharing and actually loving their sons. I know I saw it live for many years, more than 2 decades. And nevertheless, God filled that void, and that's just a powerful thing. Kevin, I wanted to ask you, while you were on the inside, is there one or two things that you actually, you know, that helped you while you were inside in becoming a better man? Anything at all?
Well, number one, the WINGS program. When I first got introduced to the WINGS program, it was because of the floor that I was on. And I looked at it as, hey, it's better than sitting in the cell. But when I came in and I actually seen what the WINGS program was about, I sat back, oh, okay, this is mainly almost the same type of stuff that I was doing in the street. So, yeah, I could do it in here. Plus, it's time consuming. And I was already pretty knowledgeable about everything in there. But if anyone could walk away from my experience that I shared, or if I could help out my fellow man by just explaining what I went through or whatever, it was a good thing or whatever. So basically, I got from it just, no matter where you at, everybody needs help. Everybody either needs someone to talk to. Everyone needs someone to sit back and just understand and hear their story. So it's just, I mean, you met some cool guys in there. That's what I can say.
Yeah, well, you added a lot to the program, and I'm really glad to have you with us at the university downtown at Drexel at the College of Medicine. And I know this Saturday you'll be with us again.
Yes, I will. I'll be down there at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and at 9 o'clock Saturday, for our listeners, we're putting together a team of men. We're talking about a team of men or a team of captains who are really prepared for speaking in high schools. And we're going to be doing this in Bucks County, going to different schools with some men who have really a past that includes either addiction or incarceration. And the focus is all about decision-making, the impact of making good and bad decisions on your life. And that's what, you know, Kevin and I and Jeff and many other guys are going to be doing in alignment with the Township Police Department in Lower Bucks County. So this is a very, very new program within the WINGS program that we're just kicking off. But for me, it's coming full circle. You know, Kev, we started back in 1993 and going into schools. We've gone into 100 schools in Philadelphia, and that's where we began the WINGS program. And it's kind of like coming back full circle, but we're going in with a team of men like yourself who have the ability to deliver a great message about making good decisions. What would your message be if you're talking to 50 young people age 15 to 18 in the school assembly program?
That's a good age. Good question too, Joe. Well, basically what I would tell them is like, you're going to be throwing a lot of jabs in life, and you're going to be throwing a lot of challenges. And at the end of the day, you can either sit back and cry about it, why this why not this, why not that? Or you can sit down, put your big boy pants on, and truck on through. Because at the end of the day, the benefit is well worth it. Like at the end of the day, like when I was in high school, I didn't think about sitting back, trying to run my own little company, working for somebody, and still trying to do your own thing on the side. But now, yeah, that's like second nature to me now. Like when I walk down the street, I see the potential of making money, this, that, and the third. And at the end of the day, it's cool working for somebody, but it's even better when you're working for yourself. So if I could encourage anyone to actually go out to go get their own thing, start their own thing, no matter what it is, hair, construction, drawing, anything, market yourself. It's always good to market yourself. It never hurts. You just take the bumps and bruises along with it. You stick with it. The outcome is 10 times better. It's not like being your own boss. And just, you know, keep that ability to sit back and don't just cause it looked bad right now, don't give up. And all because anything worth getting, you gotta work for it. It don't come overnight. And the outcome's better. And all that would be my message.
Okay. Yeah. A great message. And, we appreciate your honesty, Kevin. I really do. And your writings. I'm initially looking at your writings here from March 12, 2014. In your lifetime, where have you put your trust? And, you know, my past lifetime and present, I put my trust in my father, and he always let me down, and it made me very angry in life. And, you know, that happened to me as well, I want you to know. And I think I mentioned that to you back in March because, you know, that's just part of my past as well. Seeing my dad three times in 18 years was very challenging. Make a lot of promises and sometimes were broken. Where are you in your faith today, Kevin? Where are you in your faith?
Honestly, Joe, I'm not as strong as in my faith as I was growing up. Like, I was raised in a church. My mom took us to the church every Sunday. We went to Wednesday Bible study and everything. So my faith is strong. It's just not as strong as it used to be. Yes, I do still sit back and say a little prayer to God for myself, you know, because, you know, anyone who's going to listen, he's going to listen.
Yep.
But going to church every Sunday, no, I don't do that. Bible study, no. I haven't even picked up a Bible in years. But my faith is strong. I do try to live a good life. I do try to treat others the way I would want to be treated. And that's just the stuff that I was raised on.
Right.
I can't take that away even if I tried.
Okay, and that's wonderful. That's great because, you know, a lot of people do go to church every week and don't apply the word to their actual 168, the 7-day work week, day in and day out. And so, in the book of James, it talks about becoming a doer of the word and not a hearer only. We talked about that. You know, in verse 22, it says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his own face in the mirror. He sees himself, then goes off and promptly forgets what he looked like. But the one who peers into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres is not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he takes action. Such a one shall be blessed in what he does." And so, you know, I know for me, it's a process. The faith is a journey. Faith is a relationship with God. And it just takes a little more time. And I know that, you know, in the 168, my work is all part of my faith now. It's all wrapped up into one. My community service has become my work. And, you know, but if I look back 25 years ago, I can see that, you know, God was last on the list. I went to church maybe once a week and very often would go the opposite direction from what he said to do after the church, you know, congregation left. So this is an awakening for me. You know, it's been many years and God now is number one. And so we try to do what he says to do and avoid what he says not to do as part of our, you know, action plan for the 168, which is, again, the total time available in a 7-day work week. But I think, you know, you're doing great considering where you've been. You know, and it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. We always say that. And I really appreciate you calling in today and giving us your time. I know you're in the middle of a job. Kevin, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there and you need a kitchen or bath renovation, this is a guy who can get the job done. If you need cement work, patios or walkways, this is a guy who can get the job done. I've seen 100 of his pictures. We've been to South Philly together to look at tile together and in preparation for moving him forward in the workplace. Well, what are you doing today in the area of work?
Basically, today I'm out Yada, and I repatched someone's ceiling in their house. We tore down all the old plaster and stuff. We put up the sheetrock. Today we're in here plastering and plaster, sand, and I paint today. Put the light fixtures back up, move their stuff back in. I get paid. I go back to another job that I'm doing. I'm redoing a lady's kitchen. We're supposed to go pick up her tile today, and Saturday I'm going to pick down her tile floor. I'm young. I'm 31, but I stay busy.
That's...
I took everything that I learned in life and balled it in one big ball, and I pushed it down the hill. I'm watching it gradually snowball and get bigger.
That's great, man. And I tell you what, I'm going to help you with anything I can. I'm going to recommend, because I've seen your work, and I know it's good. I recommend that people will take you up on these invitations to do renovations for kitchens, bathrooms, patios, cement work, walkways, steps. Kevin really has a real resume of trade experience, and so we want to help you with that, Kev. And in any case, it's about 10:46 past the hour to our listeners, and you're listening to Kevin Dotson. He's on the line with me live, and we're talking about success in reentry and how he's moved forward in his life after incarceration and the lessons he's also taken from that time on the inside. And, Kevin, it's really been a privilege and a pleasure to have you be with us on the air here at Holy Spirit Radio. And, God bless you. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday morning. And at 9 o'clock, you know, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you breakfast.
Oh, man. You know, that's the best way to get to me.
Okay. All right, pal. Listen, thanks so much for calling in. God bless you. And I will see you on Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, Drexel University. Have a great day.
Same to you, Joe. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for calling in. Take care. Bye-bye.
You.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Kevin Dotson on the phone with us. And really, you can see, you know, how men are moving forward in different areas of their life. It takes a lot of work, and we have to keep moving forward. There's not... any man in my program who doesn't have challenges, legal challenges, family challenges, relationship challenges, work challenges, they're all out there, and we just have to become problem solvers and keep moving forward to make progress. But working with the men is part of it. And speaking about working with the men, we have a young lady on the line. She works with us in the WINGS program. She's a counselor with a master's degree. And she's doing great work for us in the WINGS program, Sharon Anderson. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. Good morning, staff of Spirit Radio and your listeners.
How are you?
I'm doing well, friend. How about you?
I'm doing great. Sharon, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and calling in to Holy Spirit Radio. To our listeners, Sharon, again, is working with us as a facilitator and also a counselor in the WINGS program doing official visits. One-on-one visits for the men, which is another dimension of the WINGS program, but she's also involved in the facilitation part as well. So, Sharon, it's the delight to have you on the air, and you're listening to, this is 1570, 1570 AM and 1420 AM, Holy Spirit Radio. And, Sharon, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, how we got started together in the WINGS program?
My pleasure. Most of my experience has been working with groups and individuals in distress. That's been my whole career, my whole life interest. And a cousin of mine, a friend and cousin of mine, actually works in the prison system, let me know about the great work you were doing with the prisoners inside, and it's exactly what I was working on and wanted to be part of in my life. And we met one day, and you welcomed me to help you out in that capacity that you mentioned as the official visits counselor and also to facilitate some of the group. And it's just been a pleasure, a joy, and fulfilling for me to be able to be of help, to help people to understand what the truth is about life, you know, and finding joy and peace in their life.
And that's wonderful. And, you know, Sharon has been working with us more than a year now, and that's how we came together. And to date, she has done many official visits in the in multiple facilities, and also has conducted the actual class over at one of the facilities up on one of the blocks, right there in the trenches, my friends, just outside of the cells. And so we know this is an abrasive area, and some real challenges to be there, especially for a woman amongst many men, you know, literally, not only in the class, but in the hallways. And Sharon, I really commend you for the courage and for the confidence and maturity you bring with doing the job in the WINGS program. And I know God has really blessed us by having you with us, because he always brings like-minded people together to accomplish great things. And, you know, you have the education, the experience, but also the passion and the faith that carries with you in doing your work. So I just thank God for you, and I really appreciate it.
Now, I appreciate being part of what you're doing. And we're all one. And God definitely speaks to me, and I allow that in my life, learning more and more how to listen to God and what he wants me to do. And just being able to help the guys accept that seeking God first will allow them to overcome circumstances in life, and exercising temperance over these worldly desires and passions that we have, in order to find what the responsibility that God has for us in this life, and that is to fulfill his will. I love that type of work, you know, no matter where we are in this world.
That's wonderful. That's really great. There's no question you have a tremendous faith and foundation in faith. And can you tell our listeners, Sharon, is there one thing about working in prison as a woman that, you know, keeps you moving forward in that work?
Well, I appreciate and believe that our men inside, deep inside, understand and know their role in this world. You know, somewhere in them, God has planted that responsibility of who they are and their relationship to women, you know, specifically. And from my perspective, and also what we try to help the men understand, is that they do have a responsibility to be a caregiver as well. You know, so when I'm there, I do feel that that comes out. You know, when women come around, they do offer like a protective sense and a loving sense where, you know, it's not threatening to me at all.
Okay. Very good. I know, you know, we had a little occurrence a couple weeks ago when you weren't feeling well up on the block during the session. And was that a scary time for you, actually, when you were actually at the moment in the classroom on the block and not feeling well? What was going through your mind?
Not at all. I actually knew that I was feeling weak. So I've never sat down during a presentation, and I know the guys picked it up as well. You know, a couple of them asked me, you know, am I okay? Because they noticed some, you know, different behaviors. I'm normally a sitter when I'm presenting, and just I felt something coming on. You know, my body was getting weak. And, you know, due to just some medical issues with, you know, my blood levels, that happens, you know, at times. But I've never, ever, you know, fainted. That was the first time ever. And, you know, I felt so safe with the guys, and they were actually my first responders, of course, because they were the first ones, you know, at the scene. And, you know, I just felt so cared for and protected. And then, you know, the guards took over, and then we had the medical team come in and call, you know, more help. So, yes, I just felt so comfortable. And, you know, not just through what my relationship has been with the guys, but also just through my faith, you know, just through, you know, allowing God to put that peace and comfort in me so that, you know, I'm not afraid. You know what I mean? He took that fear away from me in these different situations, you know?
Right. Well, that's great. God always brings good out of bad, and we're a little concerned that, but now things are looking good and health-wise, and we're going forward in the WINGS program and in your personal life as well, and other areas of your success in education. And so, it was just a scary moment, but we got through it. And that's what happens. You know, in aviation, we often say that, an aviation flight is really, or actually career in aviation is like moments of terror, moments of terror, surrounded by beautiful sunrises and sunsets for years. And that's what happens sometimes where thunderstorms are concerns or blizzards and things. But we're almost out of time. I want to thank you, Sharon, for calling in and taking a moment to be with us on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. And we will be talking to you soon. We'll be together Monday morning at one of the facilities and doing our new program. We have two new classes beginning November 3rd. And so God bless you. And thanks again for calling in. And we will talk to you soon.
All glory to God. Be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Take care. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we only have another 30 seconds left, and I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast here of Finding God in Prison. I want to thank Kathy for her assistance during the show, and for Dale and Jane once again for having me back on the air. And again, my friends, if you'd like to make a donation to keep us supported in the inmate reentry work, you can go to www.thecharitableexchange.org. That's www.thecharitableexchange.org, and make your donation there. But God bless you, and thank you so much for being with us here this morning. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
In the morning sunrise, its golden glow came creeping, and lighting up the world as it lay sleeping.